The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better. Into the narrative of the book of Acts we travel to understand the things the Lord doth require of us, and we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, devout men were in Jerusalem. Devout, religious, spiritual people do not mean saved people. Many people have a moral compass and they appear righteous and religious, but all of man's righteousness is as filthy rags before the eyes of God. Next, God is amazing. The wrong people were telling these people about God. They were ordinary folk, hardly a superstar amongst them, not a Pharisee around. So, therefore, God could show his power through regular people. Isn't that cool? And finally, some people accept the miracles of God and some people reject them. It's fascinating to observe who believes in miracles and who does not. You are a miracle. You know it. But do we refuse to accept God's miracles? Just look in the mirror to see an ongoing miracle from God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Not that much today. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you do any of those things, whether you email us, text us, or call us, you can do that to share a praise report. If you have a prayer request, no problem. If you have a question, we'll do our best to answer. If it's complex, we'll research it. If it's something as simple as this is what the Lord's doing in my life, that's awesome. And if it's an answer to Bible trivia, that's awesome. Speaking of which, let's do a quick Bible trivia. I'm going to test you a little bit tougher questions today, and as you know, they get a little tougher. In what book of the Bible are we told to cast our bread upon the waters? Where it says, cast your bread upon the waters. Where does it say that? The only thing I will give you is it is in the poetry section of the Old Testament. Cast your bread upon the waters. Where is that coming from? Where does that come out of? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or of course you can email in david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, let's do a quick website plug. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, everybody doing an excellent job. We've got somebody on the phone, plus people are texting in, getting the correct answer right off the bat. Just let me remind you, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's radio. That's what it is. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Got somebody ready to answer the trivia question? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Here you go. Classic kind of question. It's really important for us. People will say, well, the Old Testament doesn't matter. Well, this stuff matters right here. In what book of the Bible are we told to cast our bread upon the waters?
Is it Ecclesiastes?
That is correct. You are right. Yes.
Yay.
Ecclesiastes 11:1. Sometimes you just invest it in the kingdom of God and let the Lord bring it back as he sees fit. That's what you do.
Yes.
Excellent job. Thank you so much. Great, great work.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. Great job by Deborah and all the people texting in. Excellent, excellent job. And now we're going to turn our deep, deep attention to the reality that it is now time to talk about Expository Thursday.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
That's right. Here we go into the book of Acts. We're going right to Acts chapter 2, verse 5 says this. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now listen to this. Let's just start right here at this point here. We're going to do bigger groupings of scripture in the upcoming segments. But here's something that's really important for you and I to grasp. And I understand that it's difficult to grasp from the human perspective. But there were devout people. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, and that word dwelling really means staying, like extended stays or long visits, versus dwelling as in making your home there. So they were having extended stays in Jerusalem, and they were devout men, and they were from where? Under every nation. Every nation under heaven. God pouring out his Holy Spirit as all of the nations and people from the nations are gathered together. Yes, we'll see that connection to Babel in a little bit. But look at what these people are defined as. Devout men. Devout people. Followers of the Lord. And there's not a single one of us that doesn't know people that are, boy, they're actually morally really good. It's amazing. But that does not necessitate that they are a Christian. So in order to help people understand the math, I made a new calculation. An average age being, roughly about 76 years of age, 74 to 76 years of age, minusing, roughly about 13 years or so for accountability in the law, if that is how it would go, because 13 was the age of the bar mitzvah. But I'm not sure that's true for everybody. I think it's different for each individual person. But be that as it may, argue that a different time. Roughly about 60 to 65 years of accountability per person. Here's the question from age 13 on to, let's say, 74, 76, 77, 78 even. How many times a day do you think you sin? It's a simple question. How many times does your inside breach? Listen to what I said. How many times does your inside breach the commandments of God? I'm not talking about what anybody sees. I'm talking about what God sees. And if you just say, I could almost buy into, maybe there's some bad thoughts and I don't eradicate them and so on and so forth. I think that maybe, it's realistic to say between 10 and 12 times a day, either by my mouth, by my actions, by my thoughts, by my existence, I probably do something that's not perfect before the Lord. I think that's probably true. Just so you can know, in a lifetime, that would give you 284,700 offenses. Now, I like people, but I don't believe anybody on the planet ever, except for Jesus, ever could actually attain 284,700 good works. But that's not even the point. And here's the key to that. One thing that we do that's contrary to God is enough for us to understand we have breached and need help. One stain on the mattress does not get better if you add other mattresses to it. There's still a stain there. And you cannot eradicate the stain by adding more space to a mattress. You cannot have, if you have a garment on, if you have a robe on and you spill something on it, you cannot make that robe more pure by adding more robe material to it. The stain is still there. And if we offend God once, because he's a holy and perfect God, the stain is still there. So they're devout in the context of how we observe these men to be devout, how we perceive people to be, but they're not sinless before God. Even when it says that in Job in the King James, terrible translation because the word is complete, not sinless, when it talks about Job, just saying for those that are trying to figure it out. The bottom line is, any stain that we have will separate us from God for all of eternity. You can know people that are just so good. They're so good. But the Bible says all a man's righteousness, all of them, are as filthy rags before the eyes of God. All our righteousness is as filthy rags before the eyes of God. That's our good stuff. That means no one is devout enough or good enough without help from God. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Then they complained to Moses, against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. How quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it?
Like, what? I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Very excited to be able to be a part of your afternoon. I guess that's a nice way to say it. My drive down was kind of interesting. So for those that don't know, I live in Fate, Texas, which is on the other side of Rockwall, and then I drive down here to the studio, and sometimes that drive's really easy. Like, you know, there's no weird weather. There's nothing bizarre. And then other times it's like the Indy 500 only during that stretch that I'm driving. Anyway, so I want you all to be safe out there. And it's just not that important for you to get there in, got to get there on time. It's like the universe does not revolve around that. The universe revolves around God. Okay? Not around us. Here's the trivia question next up. What is the name of the servant girl who answered the door when Peter escaped from prison? What is the name of the servant girl who answered the door when Peter escaped from prison? For those that know right away, don't hesitate. You can call 972-445-0770. Or you can text in. So see, one is a call, one is a text. You can text in 214-210-8483. The only hint I can give you, which I will give you, is it is in Acts chapter 12. That'll give you a chance to look it up, okay? Nice to have Joanne and Cordelia coming, stepping into the plate. Nice job, ladies. So we got that going, and then I have, this is where our break point is, where we do a few jokes. I did find a few more jokes, and I can't decide if I should do, you know how we did, like, if kids wrote the Bible, and then we were like good, bad, or indifferent, those. I got another one on hymns, like hymns for different professions, which I think is pretty funny. So watch, this is what I'm talking about. So there's all these classic hymns. And so if you guys like this, it's great. If not, it's all just a joke. So just, smile and pretend you think it's funny. Oh, wait, somebody's calling through. Somebody has saved everybody by calling through before I did these. But I'm going to do these are hymns for different professions. Hymns for different professions. All right, but we have somebody answering the trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is John.
Hi, John. Good to hear your voice.
Hi, you too.
All right, here we go. So you've got a lady who is in the Bible, who is a servant girl, who's answering the door when Peter escaped from prison. Do you remember what her name was?
Oh, well, he gave me a good clue, almost the end. It's Rhoda.
That is correct, sir! Now, I could have gone out on a limb and said, you know, they had a sitcom named after her.
Rhoda Morgenstern? Yeah, yes. I know. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, there you go. That would have been a good one. I just find it amazing. That's one of my favorite, when we get to this portion in Acts, I take quite a bit of time because I believe this is, actually, it's kind of a divine comedy in its own way because, you know, he's knocking. She goes, who is it? He goes, it's Peter. And then she doesn't open the door, but she runs back and has an argument with everybody else.
Right. Right. She didn't open the door. I mean,
he's out there. He's out there knocking, going, "Hey, hey,
open the door." Yeah.
That's great. Excellent.
Anyway, you kind of gave us the real close answer.
Yeah, I wanted to give you a roadmap.
There it is, you know. So
there you go. Excellent job, brother.
All right. Well, good talking to you.
You too.
Keep on keeping on.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. God bless
you. Thank you, David. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to go and try and do these hymns. You'll understand the hymns relate to different professions. So there's all these hymns. There's thousands of hymns, some really great, grace and all the things, amazing grace and so on. So these are these hymns from these different professions. Here's the dentist's hymns. Now, the hymns are actual hymn titles. They're real hymn titles. But here's the dentist hymn. Crown him with many crowns.
That's so funny. Grounded with Lady Gaga. The weatherman's hymn. There shall be showers of blessings. See, showers? Not bad. I had to read this one twice to think if it was funny or not. The tailor's, you know, a tailor, right? A tailor's hymn. Holy, holy, holy. Like there's holes in the clothes. Yeah, I got to go with you on that one. Listen to this, though. A golfer's hymn. I will give this one credit. There's a green hill far away. Hill. All right, Buzz. The IRS agent hymn. I surrender all. Doesn't like that one. Listen to this one. The politician's hymn. Standing on the promises. Like, yeah, as if, right? Okay. The realtor's hymn. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. There's an old classic hymn. I got a mansion. All right. And then the doctor's hymn, and there's one called The Great Physician. So, I mean, that would make sense, right? No, that's all right. All right. Good job. Good job on the buzzing. Good job on the some of this is funny. Some of this is not. That is always true. Sometimes they're just not funny. All right. Let's go to this next section. I love this portion. So we just did verse 5. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together because they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Listen. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all those who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia. Boy, I really ruined that name. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Here is the great teaching that two things that really get missed out of this section, and I want to really drill down on them, and here they are. The first one is there was a great sound that occurred, and the multitude came together. In spite of everybody thinking that the only way to get something communicated is on Facebook and social media, communicating with one another has been the prime example of people getting in touch with one another as fast as anything that anybody can ever think of. And if you can bet that if the Holy Spirit came the same way in this day and age that he did in Acts chapter 2, 4, and 5, that there would be spread discussion throughout the world within seconds. People go, do you hear about this? 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 I mean, how would it be? I'll just give you a quick example. Let's just take any city. Let's take Dallas. How fast would it spread in Dallas if one person in Dallas found out every person in Dallas can now get $100,000 by pushing a button? How fast would that spread? but right? In 24 hours, that button be pushed 50 times by every single person in Dallas. My point is, when there's a sound of something, it has a spread to it. But that's not the cool part. No. The cool part is the text where he says, how is it, look at, are not all those speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language? Here's the cool part of the text. The guys that were speaking should not have been the guys who were speaking the wonderful works of God. This just shows you how smart and deep and wise God is. There were no Pharisees among them. There were no superstars among them. They were common laborers, common people, regular folk, and God drops his spirit upon them, and now they're speaking in all these different languages, unlearned languages, as the Holy Spirit's giving them utterance, the wonderful works of God. And the people who are hearing it are going, wait a second, these guys are all Galileans. How are we all hearing this in all of our own languages? That's the miracle. This is the opposite of Babel. The Tower of Babel, they had all one language, and they joined together, And God said, not man, God said, oh, they're one mind, one people. Boy, what if they had joined together? If they've decided they were going to do it, they're going to accomplish stuff. We're going to separate them through language. And now, in the book of Acts, you see the Tower of Babel reversed as the universality, that's probably not the right word, but the universal element of all these different languages are all saying the same thing, the wonderful works of God. And that's the miracle. I mean, the sound is important because it draws people. When you hear a big sound, I mean, just to be honest, you hear a big sound that doesn't grab your attention. When you're in your house and you hear a big pow, that doesn't grab your attention. I got news for you. It even grabs dogs' attention if you're in the house, I happen to know this for a fact, and there's this enormous thunder crack. The dogs get up and go, what? Sound gets your attention. But the miracle is these common people, non-Pharisees, non-Bible teachers, not anything, talking about the wonderful things of God in such a way that all these people with all these diverse backgrounds all can hear the same message. Tell me, just think about how God is spreading his gospel, saying the same thing in different languages. This is the Tower of Babel in reverse. And it's a miracle, and they know it. They're like, wow. And Scripture says they were amazed and marveled at this. They were just like, wow. What is going on here? This is the opposite of what we've ever heard of, especially in regards to how Israel was reared up. That's right. The power of God blowing people's minds, going the opposite direction, all these people speaking a language they never heard, declaring the wonderful works of God, and the church advancing its cause. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
ladies
right.
And gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has three stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay. He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Name the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. This show is flying by. Here is the next trivia question. Okay. Who said... Okay, so you got a who, right? Like, who, all right? Who said, but godliness with contentment is great gain? Who said, but godliness with contentment is great gain? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, and you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Before we do our history, let's do another plug on the website, only because we need to, so we will. Don't forget, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Aunt Deb stepping in first, by the way, but guessing correctly. That's all I'm going to say. Nice job. In the meantime, let's get into our history. So don't forget the trivia question. Who said godliness with contentment is great gain? If you think you know the answer, you can call in or you can text in 214-210-8483. That's the text. The 972 is the phone number. We keep getting – somebody keeps calling. I don't know how many times we got to take it. you just got to emblazon it in people's minds or something. All right, let's do history real quickly. Go ahead. Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past. All right, don't get offended at the song. We're just doing a little bit of history play. Everybody smile, relax, take a deep breath. Nobody's freaking out. Today's Pick Strawberries Day. Okay, I can buy that, right? I mean, when we were in Carlsbad, Noelle and I, we were in Carlsbad for a while. They had a strawberry farm right across the street. And so we went there one time, and I could not believe it. You paid $5, and you got like a ton of strawberries. It was great. It was awesome. National Rescue Dog Day. I'm not sure if that's to rescue a dog or honoring rescue dogs, but we did bring Bert home, and he's a rescue dog, and we love him. He's a couple of adjustments we're having. Sleeping through the night is a challenge. Like I said, he gets on the bed, and it's like 3:30 in the morning, and he just licks my head. He just keeps... And then I have to, that means get up because he's got to go out. But at least he's got that down. So that's good. So the carpets will survive. It's National Quiche Lorraine Day. What do you think? I mean, that's not. And then in honor of my wife, I will point out that it is Flower Day. And since she's a flower lady, that works out really good. In 1873, on this day, a patent for blue jeans with copper rivets is issued to Levi Strauss. 1873. Wow. First solo transatlantic flight by a woman, Amelia Earhart, departed from Newfoundland and arrived in Ireland on this day in 1932. And I thought this was funny, so I thought I'd just bring it up because it shows you that even though things are super duper 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 nutty right now in life, it shows you that things have been super duper 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 nutty for a little while. In 1992, Chicago banned the sale of spray paints, citing them as weapons of terror. It's like, what? Didn't they? You probably don't remember this commercial, and some of you will remember this. Don't you remember when they were trying to sell stuff where it says, if you don't have any hair in the back of your head, just spray this stuff on it, and it'll look like you have hair? And that was spray paint. It's just like, oh, my gosh. The things that we come into. All right, the trivia question again, straightforward error is, who said, but godliness with contentment is great gain? If you think you know that answer, you only got a little bit of time to call in. That'd be 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. I can't give you more than that because that will give away the answer entirely. And, you know, like John said, he's like, you got to be careful there. Walking right up there, a little too close maybe. All right, let's go back to the text. So we're talking about the most amazing element. People really get into Acts chapter 2, verse 4, because that's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But you got to appreciate Acts 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, where they're the people that are watching this or hearing this and then observing this, and they're listening. The sound brought them closer, and then they're hearing it out of the mouths of Galileans, and it's kind of like, I don't want to ever say this offensively. It's kind of like if one group who only had one dialect all of a sudden spoke 200 dialects. They never went to school for it. It just happened instantly. I mean, that's why this thing is such a major. So when they say this in verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And then it says this, which is kind of a fascinating statement. It says they were all amazed and perplexed. The word perplexed is dermporin. Dermporin, it means one traveling but not sure of the way that they're going, which would define a lot of us, by the way, perplexed. We know we're going somewhere. We just don't always know where it is. And they're talking about hearing the wonderful works of God. And I think it's important for you to understand what that hearing was. You think, well, the wonderful works of God, so that must have been a perfect homiletical message. And it doesn't say that. Well, that must have been, you know, John 3:16. It doesn't say that. It says, we hear them speaking in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Well, what were those wonderful works of God that they were hearing? We don't know. And so the people should stop trying to insert. They were already there at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Do you think we're going to tell them that? They're right there. They're watching the whole thing. People were speaking in other languages the wonderful works of God, whatever the Holy Spirit told them to say. I would assume, and I carefully say that, and jokingly say that, but I carefully say, I would assume that people in one dialect might need to have a stronger emphasis on certain points of the gospel than others. I don't know, but it's all possible. I don't know. I can't really answer that. But whatever it is they were speaking, it was the wonderful works of God, and it was initiated and carried along with and declared by the Holy Spirit. Now, I think it would be fascinating to know what some of that was in the sense of actually knowing, right? But we know that it was a declaration that what God does is fantastic. And that's a big part for you and I right there, to understand that what God does is fantastic. Now, this, of course, does not assume it in the sense that it declares that these people were sharing about God. And I was in a class this morning. I was in kind of a review on one of the classes, and somebody offered up two excellent questions that could help you and I share the gospel with people in a very soft manner. I thought, man, that's really, really good. So I wanted to share it with you so that you can understand that the Holy Spirit can empower you to be a witness for God, because that's the call. We all have that. And I know that people are timid and they think they got to say things perfectly and do things perfectly. And right now, for those of you that are listening or going, no, I don't want to hear this, stop that. Just ask God to help you. Noelle and I just talked about this the other day. She's like, I really want to help this person. And I was like, you can only pray to offer yourself to be there before the Lord and to present yourself. God has to do the rest of that. You can't force salvation on anybody. But these two questions I thought were great questions. And if you and I could remember this stuff, it would go a long way to us being useful vessels. Listen to these two simple questions to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Just listen to how it goes. Question number one. Do you believe in heaven? Okay. Then question number two, how do you get there? You see what's going on there? You see what's going on there? What's going on is it is wise. There's a wisdom there. Do you believe in heaven? How do you get there? Now, if they don't believe in heaven, it's a whole separate conversation, right? Of course. They don't believe that there's anything else, then you know that conversation goes a different direction. But if they believe in heaven, then you say, how do you get there? That would be then the next most important question that person ever answered in their lifetime. And I just thought, wow, such a simplistic manner by which we communicate a way to convey the kingdom. Do you believe in heaven? Oh, how do you get there? It's like, wow. So for those that are trying to, you know, how do I open that up, or how do I breach that, or how do I talk about that? That's an excellent, excellent tool. Now, it's not the only tool, and I know there's people that are literally like anti, you know, sharing tracts and anti this. Hey, you know what you do? Whatever it is you can do before the Lord, that's what you do. Maybe you just do a lot more prayer and groundwork. But I think it's a fair, simplistic way to ask in regards to the kingdom of God. In regards to how Jesus Christ is in their life or not in their life, do you believe in heaven? How do you get there? It's just like, then it's just like, that's a dialogue, what we call a dialogue question. It gives people an opportunity to engage, right? All right, my main point in that is bringing it back, because this last point is a mind blower. The main point of that is understanding who was doing this. It's like, oh, these guys they knew everything. They didn't know anything. This is Peter, who had just got done denying Jesus three times. And yet, God used them all. All you got to do is say, here I am. Send me. And give me the right words to say, and how to say it, and where to say it, and what to say. He'll use you. That's what he'll do. In a wonderful way. All right, the answer, who said, but godliness is contentment with great gain? That would be the Apostle Paul, who said that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, now that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White, was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage, and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Amazing Grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Want to let you know we got one more trivia question to go. Let's see if you guys can nail this one down. This will be a good one. In Luke chapter 16, there is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. How many brothers did the rich man have? Woo, that's tough. You can look it up, which I prefer you to do, Luke 16. How many, Joy didn't even let me finish. Joy and Cordelia, bing! Okay. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, how many brothers did the rich man have? That's the question. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483 in the story that Jesus told about Lazarus and the rich man. How many brothers, remember it was a parable, how many brothers did the rich man have? That's the question that's on the board. In the meantime, we're going to do a Hebrew word. Let's do that real quick. Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Venice. All right, now this word has a Greek counterpart, which we're not going to talk about today, but I want to talk about this today in the Hebrew text. It is Genesis 15:6. He believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. That means God accounted it to Abraham for righteousness. He believed in the Lord, that was Abraham, and he, God, counted it to him for righteousness. That's the Hebrew word chashav, or chashab, but usually it's chashav, chashab, chashav. To think, to reckon, to put together, to calculate, to imagine, to impute, to lay one's thoughts together, to form a judgment. Now, why that's important is critical. If you hold out your hand and I say, here's a quarter, and I put a quarter in your hand and you take that quarter, I have imparted it to you. But if that exact same process happens and I take a quarter and I put it in your hand, but then I pull the quarter back and you close your hand and I just go, you have a quarter, you have a quarter, that's imputing. That's the difference between imputing and imparting. God imputed our righteousness through Jesus Christ. That's where you get the whole stories about, you know, looking at us through these Jesus-colored glasses. That would be correct in its own way. The conclusion on this word is in this verse, God added everything that Abraham's belief meant, and he put it all together and determined it was equal to righteousness. His faith brought him to that place of standing right before God. Boom. All right. Got that, got that, got that. Here's the last of the bit. Okay. This is so good. I mean, I just think this. Last on the trivia, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. How many brothers did the rich man have? For those that need to look it up, it is in Luke chapter 16. We'll give that answer at the end of the show. Here is the coolest part of the text because it's our personal challenge. So let's go back to verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Verse 13. Others mockingly said, they are full of new wine. Okay? Two groups of people looking at the same situation. One group is like, wow. You got like 15 different languages here, and all of these Galileans who shouldn't be able to speak a single one of them are speaking all of them the wonderful works of God, and oh my goodness, they're talking about this. It's amazing. It's amazing to us. Then there was another group of people that were watching the exact same thing. And their response was, eh, they're full of new wine. They're just drunk. That's what they were saying. Yes, this is just them being drunk. So instead of them responding to the miracle of God through accountability, they dismissed it. Let me explain to you and to myself that this is on all of us. Because God did a miracle. He broke the natural plane and inserted the heavenly realm into the earthly matter and created a break all the laws of the norm moment and had people who'd never learned a language speaking in different languages as the Spirit gave them utterance about the wonderful things of God. God's ability to bring a miracle, you just think of it this way, is God dividing the human realm of laws and requirements and inserting from heaven a moment where he alters those laws so none of them apply, and boom, that's what a miracle is. And the human response to the miracle is some people were amazed. Oh, that's amazing. And other people were like, eh, they're just drunk. Some people believe and some people don't. Some people see a miracle of God and are in awe and amazed. And some people see a miracle of God and dismiss it. That has always been the case. That will always be the case. Because the miracles of God are testimonies of God's grace and mercy and wisdom and righteousness and even judgment. And the response to his miracles are critical. How we react and how we respond to what God does. And let me say this. There's not one of you, not one, that would deny the miracles that happens to you. But there are several of us that might deny the miracles that happen to others. It's just straightforward. And it's like you're either going, yes, God, or God who? If you're saying God who, it's a tremendous insult. A tremendous. And the idea behind this is for us to recognize God does not come down and sit down with you and I and say, hey, I'm going to do this miracle in this person's life, and I'm going to change their life, and I just wanted to see what you thought. I just wanted to get your input. When I was a young boy, when I first heard the gospel, a young man, and I had said yes to Jesus but didn't make any real changes, but I believed. There wasn't even a question. And I was doing the wrong things, and God spoke to me. He spoke to me. Two words. He said, that's enough. And that was the last time I smoked pot. 42 and a half, maybe closer to 43 years. And I knew what God was saying and what he was doing. Took all my pot, all my cocaine, all my drugs, flushed them down the toilet, broke all my pipes, threw them in the trash can and said, help me. I love doing this stuff, but you don't like it.
And I said, if you don't take it out of me, it'll always be in me. I can't do anything about it. I'm powerless. But you can change me. And I went to bed. And I woke up. And that was it. And let me just tell you, in case you didn't quite understand, prior to that, I was getting high 15 to 20 times a day for 5 years. And you name it. I loved acid. LSD. I was into that and cocaine and hash and pot all the way down. And God said, that's enough. And that was enough. I actually found a translation where the phrase that's enough is in there. I always wanted to do that. But the idea behind that is, God didn't check with anybody. He didn't even check with me. He just said, that's enough. That's enough. And I was like, okay, that's a miracle. You think, well, that's amazing. I've done so many bad things since that moment that it's just a shine over now. It's just so bad. I'm just terrible. I'm just being honest. But I rely on that grace and that mercy to deliver me in situations, in struggles, in life. I mean, there's so much more to the testimony, of course, but I'm just sharing with you. God does wonderful miracles. Here's the bottom line. Are you one of those people that go, that's just wine? Or are you one of those people that say, wow, God is amazing. He does amazing, amazing work. I mean, I really mean this. I know it's just kind of goofy kind of to say, but I mean, if you really want to see a miracle, just go to a mirror and look at you and recognize you probably should have been dead 10 times over, or at least had all these other horrible things happen. And then God has brought you all the way through and all the way across because he loves you. It's like, you are a miracle. How can you not believe? How can you not be in awe? And if somebody else has a miracle, fantastic. As long as it leads them to the Lord or drawing closer in, fantastic. Who cares? That's what's important, right? God does something amazing, call it amazing. Don't be a scoffer. Be a believer. Be one in awe, okay? All right. How many brothers did the rich man have in the rich man and Lazarus story? The answer is five. He had five brothers, Luke 16, 27 and 28. Thank you guys for letting me bend your ears for a little bit. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot for all the blessing that you give me.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.